As her mind wandered, she glanced over at Vinny and saw that he was dozing. For a few brief seconds, that dirt-swept stretch of Alabama roadway became heaven on earth. And then she jammed on the brakes and swerved as a large raccoon darted from the shadow of a dense patch of brush, just as the tires of the big caddy threatened to pulverize it.
Whoa! What the hell, Lisa? You asleep at the wheel or something?
Me? Asleep? No, I'm not asleep.
Lisa, you gotta be more careful.
That's because you were asleep. Some co-pilot you are.
Me asleep? Don't be ridiculous. I was just resting my eyes.
Well, while you were resting your eyes, a rat the size of a leopard shot across the road like Secretariat coming down the home stretch and almost took out the front bumper. What did you want me to do?
He rubbed the sleep from his eyes.
For the love of God, Lisa, look at the way you're holding the wheel.
What? You don't like the way I'm holding the wheel?
No, I don't.
What's wrong with it?
You got your hands at the bottom. 10 and 2, Lisa. 10 and 2.
Listen, Vinny. My hands are just fine where they are, thank you.
Oh, yeah? Then why do they instruct new drivers to keep their hands at 10 and 2?
They teach that, do they? What did you take your road test in? An Edsel? Or was it a horse and buggy? Ain't you ever heard of airbags?
What's that got to do with anything?
During a collision, an airbag will explode out of the steering wheel hub at more than 100 miles per hour. With your hands at 10 and 2 or higher, the driver's arms can be thrown back at a very high velocity and you can get severely hurt. Picture this. You're driving on a nice, twisty road when out of nowhere, the guy in the oncoming lane loses control, swerves, and bam! The next thing you know, an explosion rips your arms out of their sockets and they're pointing backwards, dangling in the breeze like the scarecrows after the flying monkeys had their way with them in The Wizard of Oz.
And from later on, Vinny tried to get behind the wheel, but Lisa yanked him out of the way.
I'll drive before you put another rod through the hood.
He turned to his brother in the back seat.
What the hell, Joe? You dropped your drawers at the luncheonette?
Joe shrugged. Hey, it was like 11 o'clock. Everyone was on their lunch break and I was there alone. I had to cook and serve this pain-in-the-ass woman, all at the same time.
So?
So she complained about everything. Her fork was dirty, the chicken was dry, her coffee was cold, yada, yada, yada. She had me bouncing back and forth between her table and the griddle like a goddamn pinball. The nasty old broad was driving me nuts.
So maybe she was right. That don't mean you yank down your pants and stick your fat ass in her face.
Hey, she started yelling at me. Then she walked up to the counter and wouldn't stop. She told me that she used to be a tribal princess before she moved here from her native country. She said I should be honored to wait on her.
Well, maybe she was a princess. That ain't no cause to moon her, is it, Vinny?
Vinny seemed a little flustered.
I don't know, Lisa. The woman does sound like a real pain in the ass.
She was so difficult to handle that Joe was within his rights to moon her.
I don't know. How do you honor a tribal princess, anyway? Was Joe supposed to slaughter an ox and present it to her as a sacrificial offering?
Stop taking his side.
Was he supposed to wrestle a camel into submission? Flog a llama? Oh, I got it. Maybe he was supposed to subdue a wildebeest.
He folded his arms and turned his head away. She drove in silence until they were back in the neighborhood, just down the block from where Augie had his garage.
My dad said he was going to be short-handed this afternoon, on account my brother Dino is off with one of his girlfriends again. I'm going to see if he needs my help.
She put the gear selector in park and opened the door.
See you later. You can drive Jiggle Butt Joe back to work, Vinny. That is, if he still has a job.